All right, well, if you check your clock, you will probably notice that it is 1930 UTC, and that means it's time to start the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and as I walk out of my office, I'm looking for my cat. Hi. Yes, I can hear you yanging. Well, what are you yanging about? Meow. What is it? What do you want to talk about today? Bro, bro, that's not talking, that's saying bro, bro. So here we are in the kitchen. What do you want to talk about? Well, what? You just going to rub your face on the cabinet doors? Oh, now we're not going to talk? Oh, you don't want some microphone in your face? Say something. Say something funny. That's not funny. Tell us a kitty joke. Yeah, tell us a joke. Come on, say something funny. You know, that's a good one. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, it's kitty comedy joke time. Are you a kitty stand-up comic? That's a good kitty joke. Oh, I like how you're rubbing your face against the door. I hate to tell you this, but the more you rub your face on the door, it really isn't going to change whether or not that door gets opened. What about that, do you think? Oh, no comment now? As you sit on the bucket, you think the door is going to get opened, but it's not. So sorry. So sorry. Now we're going back in the kitchen. I just gave you fresh kitty water, so I can't imagine what it is you want. What are you doing? Rubbing our face up against the cabinet doors, because that's what we do. Because we are, in fact, a cat. Oh, I almost tripped on my kitty. What are you doing running down here now? Oh, you want to do some kitty stuff? I guess we can do that. Now where are you going? All right, well, I guess this means that I can sit down here and watch the halftime show to my game and drink some tea. Good tea. Mm-hmm. So delicious. I've got a good game going on here. Galatasaray is playing. But they are losing. They're losing by 1 point to Porto here at the half, so... Oh, it looks like they're getting ready to come back out. Yay, I'm pretty excited about it. So I guess now would be as good a time as any to update you on my amplifier progress. Let's see, where were we? As you'll remember, I had gotten as far as finishing up the boards, the BIOS board and the main circuit board, although these are not printed circuits, it's a weird eyelet thing. Look up eyelet board. So I got those finished and had to mount them in the amp chassis themselves, which was sort of annoying because the holes in the boards and the insulation boards didn't match up with the holes in the amp chassis. So that took a little finessing, but finally got those installed. Once those were installed, then I managed to get about, I don't know, I got more than half of it, of the stuff, loose stuff, soldered. I got, basically, I got all the bottom row things. I got all the tube sockets soldered up, or at least soldered to the boards, and stuff like that. I think that's where I left off. The next thing to do will be to solder the controls to the board. So there's about another dozen or so connections that need to go to the various pots and the jacks. Then the other thing that's left to do, I'm trying to think. There's a, yeah, once the controls are soldered and connected, then the only thing I have left to do is basically run, what's the word I'm looking for? I got to make a sort of a wiring harness for the heater circuit, the bit that heats, that, you know, powers the heaters for all the tubes. And then I think that's about it. Then it's time to, you know, go into testing stages, you know, smoke test and make sure it's not running away, put the tubes in, test. Yeah, that reminds me, I also got to wire up the death cap. While I'm hooking up the things to the controls, there's a couple other things. You know, there's probably only 2 or 3 hours left of work to do before it goes into testing stages. Or thereabouts. Just sort of estimating in my head. So that'll be fun. And while I was doing that, I was also reading. I was reading up on how this particular circuit works. And now that I have a slightly better understanding of how tubes actually function, this design makes more sense to me. Although it's kind of weird because we sort of use this. It's hard to explain. When I'm dealing with amplifiers, solid-state amplifiers, you know, I understand how it works. I get it. And there's sort of, you know, a couple ways you do things. You know, there's only a couple of different amp architectures. You're going to do it one of a few different ways. And the thing I'm finding out about the tube circuit of this amplifier is something now makes sense to me. Like, where does the tremolo come from? You know, all these things. Okay, well, that's due to this other half of this tube doing this, and this goes over to here, and it does this. It's like, okay, this kind of makes sense to me. Oh, well, isn't this kind of clever then? There was a couple of aspects which I won't go into. I mean, unless you're really super familiar with electronics and how some of this stuff works, which I am not. I'm not saying that I know anything about it. But there were a couple of points. There's a couple of points where I said, okay, I understand this now. Well, that's kind of clever. Whoever came up with that idea, that was kind of smart. And I like that. So, what does this all mean? What does this make me want to do? Does this make me want to design some kind of tube amps? Or tube preamps or something? You know, I don't think I could design a full-on guitar amplifier, but now that I understand how this is working, yeah, I kind of get that urge to build something else. Like, maybe I want to build a tube radio, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe I want to build a tube stereo amplifier. But, you know, I don't really listen to music anymore. You know, nobody does. Everybody just puts music on their phone. They're listening to music on their phone or their computer or whatever. Nobody's really concerned with cool amplifiers anymore. But maybe that's what I need to do. Build a sweet tube amplifier so I can feed music out of my Raspberry Pi and into some really, really good stereo speakers. It's an idea. But I find that I don't really listen to music all that much. Well, at least not enough to justify building, you know, $1,000 amplifier for a Raspberry Pi just so I can listen to MP3s. You know, this is not an audiophile kind of thing. It's, you know, why go to all this effort when everything else in the chain isn't, you know, the same quality? Well, I don't know. I would do this just because I think it would be funny to do. But if I'm going to do that, wouldn't it be funnier to build a radio? Like, you know, a transmitter? Or a receiver? You know, it doesn't really matter in my book. It's just, something I think about. Could I do that? Do I know how to build a radio out of tubes? Well, now that I know how to build an amplifier, well, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I'll give that some more thought. I'll just put that thought in my brain and let that cook and see what happens in a couple of days. But yeah, I have had tubes on the brain, and now last night I was sort of thinking the same way. It's like, what weird kind of thing could I do with tubes that I would normally do with transistors? Well, you know, I only do so many things with transistors. But I thought, you know what else would be kind of weird is, you know, what if you had some, what if you build a robot that was tubes? You know, a robot that would fit in your hand if you made it out of modern electronics, but would be like 3 feet in diameter because it's all tubes. And that would be cool. I have to admit, that would be really cool. Be very retro. You would really blow a lot of people away. The problem is, how do you power it? The great thing about transistors is they barely take any power, and therefore you can build an entire robot and power it with a 9-volt battery, which, you know, can barely source any power at all. Not even an amp hour. You know, what's a 9-volt battery rated for? Like 600 or 800 milliamp hours? Something like that? I don't know without looking it up. Yeah. So how are you going to power those tubes mobily? You just have to have these giant batteries. It would be ridiculous. If I was a gajillionaire, if I was super, super rich and I had nothing better to do than to build very, very funny and expensive electronic jokes, then yes, I would do this. But unfortunately, now this is out of the realm of my possibilities. Speaking of realms of possibility, do I need to go to the store? What is today? Tuesday. I've got at least one day's worth. I'll go to the store tomorrow. I think today is going to be take a break day. Today is going to be relax and do nothing day. And maybe I'll just watch some of the tube. Got a game to watch, and then maybe I'll watch some other stuff. You know what I watched last night? And I'm kind of embarrassed to say it. Although I am and I'm not. This is weird. I've been discussing this with my friend Booper. I told him that I watched an episode of The Young Ones. Yeah, The Young Ones. I know what you're thinking. You're either old enough to remember it and you're going, yeah, that was such a great show, or you don't know what I'm talking about. Either way, that's fine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. The episodes are online. You can watch this show. The Young Ones was a British comedy show that ran for 2 seasons, about 12 episodes, back in the early 80s. And it was the beginning of the alternative comedy movement. It started a lot of stuff. And why did I watch it? You know, this stuff is 30 years old now. Why did I watch it? Well, because a few days ago, I was talking via email to my friend Booper, and he made a couple of references to one particular episode, the episode Bambi, which is our favorite episode. And it's my favorite for a lot of weird reasons, including the fact that Fry and Laurie make an appearance. French and Saunders are not in that one. They're in Time. And, well, there's a whole slew of reasons why, you know, I like this particular show, but I haven't actually seen that episode in a while. So I watched it last night. I watched the episode Bambi last night, and I do recommend it. Just do a search for young ones Bambi. It will come up. And, you know, I laughed at all the stuff that I liked that I remembered, and I thought, yeah, that was good. And then, you know, I'm looking at it, and the funny thing about the show is it's pretty low rent, and it's not edited quite right, and it's all a little bit off and weird, and but it still sort of works as that weird underground alternative thing that was so wacky. And the funny thing is talking to Booper about it, you know, I told him, you know, I watched the Bambi. Then I watched a documentary about the show. It was pretty good. You might want to see it, blah, blah, blah. And he came back with, well, you know, I don't know if I want to watch The Young Ones now. And he said, this is because I don't know if I like it because of the nostalgia or if it was any good. And so I don't want to say he's afraid to watch it because he's afraid he won't find it funny anymore. He's just repulsed by the nostalgia for it. And that's the problem with people in my generation. The show made a pretty big impact sort of after the fact. You know, the show was off for 5 years before it ever showed up in America. It was off the air. I mean, they only made 12 or 13 episodes of the show. But it did get pretty popular here in the States amongst people of my generation and ilk. But the weird thing of it is, and I may have touched upon this before, even though everybody loves it and is super nostalgic for it, the thing that I didn't like about it in the beginning was that I had to sit around and watch this with people who didn't get the jokes, but they would laugh anyway. So, you know, Rick or Aide would do something funny on the show, do something stupid, and then you'd hear the studio audience laughing, and then my friends would laugh. And then I would ask them, why did you laugh? They would say, oh, that was funny. And I would say, well, why is it funny? And they would say, well, it just is. I'm like, no, he told a joke, explained the joke to me, and explained the comedy of the joke to me. And they wouldn't be able to do it. So I have this weird thing where, what are you laughing at? Why do you think this is funny if you don't get the jokes? Well, it turns out they're not laughing at the jokes. They're just laughing at the slapstick. Oh, look, that guy just hit the other guy on the head with a board. Well, yeah, but they do that in the Three Stooges, too. Are you laughing at the Three Stooges? Is that the reason you find this funny? You know, the show is full of a lot of cultural references that, personally, there's plenty of jokes in the show that I didn't understand at the time. There are jokes in the show that I don't understand today, and I have to look them up. These are, you know, political jokes, jokes of the times that, you know, unless you knew something about British politics in 1982, why are you laughing at the joke? And, you know, 18-year-old kids, you know, in America, they don't know what's going on. And so the funny thing about the show is, there's a big nostalgia for it, and Booper and I hate the nostalgia movement. And the funny thing is, when it comes to a show like The Young Ones, I won't even talk about it with people. People will want to bring it up and be nostalgic about it, and I won't. I won't talk about it because I just want to get on their cases and say, well, what was so funny about it? Explain one of the jokes to me. Explain any of it. And they can't. It's like, oh, it was just funny. Oh, why is it funny? So the funny thing is I actually watched episodes last night. I watched Bambi, and then I watched Time. And when you sit back and watch it with the 30 years difference, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see why that was funny. That was did the show make me laugh as I was watching it last night? Well, not really, because, you know, like I said, I've seen all these episodes plenty of times. But I can look at it and just go, yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. That's not so good. And then there's times where you go, well, yeah, and I still can't understand what he says right there. And you can't pull it up on closed captions to see, what did he say? He says something, nobody knows what it is, and then people start laughing. Why are you laughing? I don't know. So anyway, I think one of the reasons people like the show is that, strangely enough, it can appeal to both highbrow and lowbrow people. Because the conceptual comedy itself is very interesting, intellectually interesting. This is good satire of the times. This is done very tongue-in-cheek, and it's done, look how funny we can be playing these funny roles. It's like, okay, yeah, I do appreciate that. That is good. That is good comedy. And, you know, unless you have the analytical brain to be able to pick that apart and understand comedy for these reasons, that might be lost on you. However, this show also appeals to, well, you know, idiots, because there is so much slapstick and just stupid physical violence that it becomes funny for, you know, the kind of people who watch NASCAR just for the crashes. And I think that's why that has an appeal for Americans, especially Americans of my generation, who were, for the most part, idiots. You know, the people who liked The Young Ones didn't like Monty Python that came before it because they didn't understand Monty Python. But they liked The Young Ones because there was more physical humor. It's just, oh, here's a guy getting hit with a cricket bat. Here's a guy getting a knife stabbed into his head. Here's, you know, that's just funny somehow. And then, while I was reading some comments about this from Booper, he also said, I will compare it to the Rolling Stones. Are the Rolling Stones good? Are they playing stuff? Do people really want to go see the Stones? Or do they just want the nostalgia? Well, when it comes to the Stones, well, yeah, it's basically the nostalgia, because the Stones are not writing new material, and any new material they have written, it doesn't go straight to the top of the charts. You know, they're not writing hits like they used to in 1969 and 1970 and 1971. But I wrote back to Booper, like, well, I actually kind of like the Stones now. See, I never liked the Stones when I was younger. When I was very young, I kind of liked the Stones, even though they were still before my time. But by the time I was a teenager and further, it's like the Stones, no, they're just ancient dinosaurs who don't understand that they're not relevant anymore. But now, in today's day and age, the Stones are actually cool again because they are so old. There aren't any other 80-year-old rock bands. You can't go anywhere to find an 80-year-old guy jamming on guitar, unless you're going somewhere where Dick Dale is. I mean, there are a few out there. There's not a lot. You can count all the cool 80-year-old guys on one hand. Keith Richards, you know, Dick Dale, probably a few more that I can't think of right now, but that's not the point. Yes, it's true that most people are going to a Stones concert for the nostalgia. These are people who liked the Stones when they were younger and then brought their kids up on listening to old Stones records. And so the kids do legitimately like the Rolling Stones. And so that's why you get some young kids there. But no, you're not going to get millennials going crazy for, ooh, the Rolling Stones, a band we never heard of. And the thing I like about the Stones these days, and we've discussed it before, is, yeah, these guys are old. And they are so old that they are physically having difficulty doing a stage show. Yeah, Mick can't quite run around as much as he used to and still sing. He can still sing and belt out the lines, but he can't really sustain a note. He's got to have some backup singers, and this is fine. And they got a whole backup band and everything. But I think this is cool because, because it's more fun for them. And I've been watching old Rolling Stones, well, not old,
fairly recent Rolling Stones concerts. Yeah, my voice is almost gone. And it looks like Keith Richards is having so much fun that he doesn't know what to do. And I totally understand this, because now he doesn't have to grind through the song. Because he's got other guitar players doing the boring parts, he can just have fun playing the fun and exciting stuff, like the solos, like the fun riffs, and all this. And the thing I like about most about watching him do this is that, you know, here's a guy who's been playing the same songs for 60 years, playing the same riffs, playing the same solos, doing the same crap. And he's so sick of it that, you know, he's just doing new stuff. He's making up new solos and new riffs for old songs. And this is what I love to hear, because now this is an 80-year-old guy who's pretty much gone through all the options. He's, you know, he's written all the riffs for one particular song that he's ever going to be able to write. He's done all the solos. So now he's only doing the coolest stuff. He has boiled it down. And he doesn't do any cheesy, ridiculous riffs. He's not trying to be some guitar shredder. He's just putting as much freaking style into those four notes that he possibly can. And it just about kills me. It's like, dude, you have nailed it. You have boiled down the essence of this riff to its most pure form. How do I put this? You know, it's to make a drug reference, you know, his songs used to be, you know, his riffs used to be poppies, kind of druggy poppies. But no, he has refined that big stupid plant into, you know, a fine white powder. Just the most pure slam of a hit. What's another option here? I don't know, alcohol? You know, yeah, the song used to be beer, but now it's just been distilled down to 99.9% ethanol. You know, no screwing around, no fillers. Just the killer poison. Just that one deadly aspect. You know what I'm saying? Because Keith Richards has been doing the same crap for so long, he's managed to condense all the coolness. He's condensed the awesome factor down to such a perfect gold nugget. That's another good way to describe it. You know, when you're mining for metals, you have ore. And so you got to do a lot of stuff to that ore to get the pure metal out of it. And that's what I feel like Keith Richards has done. And that's why what I appreciate about Keith Richards these days is, dude, nice job. Nice job just boiling it down. Just nice job making it the coolest thing. And now Keith Richards, he doesn't have to do any, what's the word I'm looking for, just drudge work. He just straps on the coolest guitar ever, walks out on the stage, and just gets to rip out these awesome little riffs and solos, and he's just having a super good time while he's doing it. And there's people going nuts. And that's why I love Keithy. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe, and I am the chairman of the Dubious Keith Richards Fan Club Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. I gotta go. I gotta watch the rest of this game, and then, make some food or something. So, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line.